beginning at verse 9. Revelation 17, beginning at 9 and reading through the end of the 7th, or the 17th chapter. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot and make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." The word of our Lord. Well, you may be seated. Our text verse this evening is actually the verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Well, we're going to do something a little bit different this afternoon. We're not going to be talking about prophecy so much. I want to have us consider that line at the end of verse 14. Those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Obviously, this goes along with our Sunday school class, if you were listening carefully this morning. Well, we have some theological terms here. The only thing that I'm going to say prophetically is notice that the end has already been determined. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. He's going to be victorious over all his enemies. And so, even though we may not understand all the chronology of the book of Revelation perfectly, we know that in the end, Christ is going to be vindicated. He's going to reign forever and ever. And the Apostle John makes that really clear and says it a number of different ways. But tonight we're going to focus, as I said, on those words, called, chosen, and faithful. Those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Well, I hope we take these words seriously. We want to be with him, do we not? We read the book of Revelation, and we want to reign with him forever and ever. But I want to have us consider this afternoon two different types of calling. And the part that we'll emphasize will be what's called effectual calling. This is certainly the part that's emphasized in Holy Scripture. I'm going to follow an outline that I came across. I'm going to rework it and put it in my own words, but it's actually pretty good the way it has been put together. First of all, what is effectual calling? Effectual is maybe not as common a term as effective. We use the word effective if you're going to purchase a pain reliever, probably it's going to have advertising saying that it's effective with headaches or whatnot. Effectual basically means the same thing. It means calling that God has predetermined to work. Effectual calling works. Effectual calling does not fail. That's the idea here. So effectual calling is calling that that works. Effectual calling refers to the divine summons by which God powerfully draws individuals into a saving relationship with himself. As we use that word, that's a term that generally is used in legal contexts. Someone is summoned to appear in court on such and such a date at such and such a time. And if you have any sense at all, you don't ignore a summons. You follow through on it. If you get a summons, if you're smart, you're going to write down the date and time on your calendar. You're going to circle it in red. You're going to make sure that you don't forget it and that you're there. Well, why do you do that? Well, the courts have a way of getting their man, so to speak. And if you're summoned and you do not appear, there's going to be penalties. Things are not going to go well for you. And so hopefully in junior high civics class or social studies class, you learned that's one of the things you have to know as a citizen of this nation. So it's a divine summons. And when God summons someone, that summons is effective. Well, this is not being summoned to be judged in a courtroom. This is summoned to be blessed along with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. So if you belong to Christ, if you're one of his followers, if you have voluntarily said, "Yes, Lord, I am yours, use me as you will, however I can glorify you best, just do it. I know that your way is best." Then you want the Lord Jesus to succeed. And if he summons you, then you want to respond to the summons. So what is effectual calling? This is this divine summons which powerfully draws individuals into a saving relationship with Christ. Unlike a general proclamation of the gospel that can be heard by all, everyone on earth hopefully can receive it. I know that there's many tongues to go. There's certain languages on earth that do not yet have the Bible in their own language, do not have preachers that are qualified to preach the gospel. That's one of the advantages of growing up in the English-speaking world. We have so many advantages. But anyway, the general population at large can understand the gospel if they can hear it in their own language, and they can understand the facts. Yes, I hear you saying I'm a sinner. Yes, I know I can't go to heaven in my sins. I need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. But a person that is not effectually called will say, "But I'm not going to do it. I don't want anything to do with this." So effectual calling is a personal and specific work of the Holy Spirit in the heart, bringing about conviction of sin, repentance, and faith in Jesus Christ. And when God issues that kind of summons in the heart, it is effectual. One of my favorite verses along this line is from Psalm 110, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." And God does that, even as we were talking about it in adult Sunday school this morning. God does that in a way that doesn't violate the human will. God never saves a person apart from without his permission, so to speak. God doesn't save people against their wills. He doesn't drag people kicking and screaming into heaven. He makes us willing. "So thy people will be willing in the day of thy power." That's the word of God, Psalm 110. So the effectual call ensures that those whom God calls in this special manner will come to believe and persevere in that faith. Well, how do we know that any of this is true? Well, the way that we know it's true is it's taught in the Bible. And so let's look a little bit at the biblical foundations. First of all, Scripture clearly teaches God's initiative and sovereignty in drawing people to himself. And I'm going to refer to a bunch of scriptures. I'm going to read them from my notes, but I'm not going to necessarily have us turn because we've got a lot to cover this afternoon. But Romans 8, 30, 29 and 30 perhaps it is. It says, "Moreover, whom he predestined, those he called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." So this is in a sequence of actions that God is going to take. And the Apostle Paul is writing about them in terms of they're all going to be fulfilled. The ones whom he predestined. Well, when did he predestine us? Well, the logical answer is he predestined us in eternity past. Now, when in eternity past? Well, the Bible doesn't talk about any passage of time in eternity. So it would have to have been at the beginning of eternity, but eternity doesn't have a beginning. Eternity is really hard for us as humans to be able to understand, but he didn't just do it in time as a response to man's sin. We are predestined even from eternity past. How do we know it's from eternity past? Well, that's the way God works. Whatever he does, he never has to undo something that he's already done. Sometimes we have to backtrack and we have to go a little different direction. We have to correct the mistakes that we've made. God does not have to do that. So whatever he's predestined, he's done it perfectly from eternity past. So whom he predestined, these he also called. That, I would submit to you, is effectual calling. Whom he called, these he also justified. Not everyone that has been predestined has already been called. And yet those that are called, he also justifies. And so we know that there are still people that have yet to hear the gospel and yet will come to Christ. They are going to be justified. And then whom he justified, these he also glorified. So this calling is not merely an invitation, but it's a decisive action on God's part. Another scripture, John 6, 44. Jesus highlights this divine element in John 6. He says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. The Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." An important verse. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I would just point out to you that this is a very strong word in the Greek. He powerfully draws us. And the Father draws us to him, to the Son, and then it says, "And I," that's Jesus now speaking, "I will raise him up at the last day." So I would submit to you that this effectual calling is the drawing that the Father does when he draws his elect to himself. Paul echoes this view in 1 Corinthians 1:24, another very important text, teaching, "We preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called," there's our word, we're talking about effectual calling, "to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." So here are Jews and Gentiles that don't come to Christ, but the ones that are called, they do come to Christ. "To those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." In other words, God's calling is going to be effectual. He's going to get his man, so to speak. So here's the word called, and we know just from the way it fits in with other texts of Scripture that he's talking here about an effectual call. He's not just saying, you all, please come to me if you have it in your heart. No, he actually changes our heart, makes us willing to come, and we do come. So the consistent message of Scripture is that believers do not save themselves. It is God's gracious call through which salvation is initiated. But we have to stop at this point and consider, what's the difference between the effectual call and the general call? So distinguishing the general call from the effectual call. Well, the general call occurs when the gospel is preached or presented and anyone physically hears the message. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So there's this general call. God wants the gospel to be heard by every single man, woman, and child in all creation. You don't have to, the church doesn't need to determine, before I preach to you, I have to know you're elect. We don't have to do that. We can preach to the elect and to the non-elect, preach the gospel to every creature. That's a universal invitation. And then there's a very important text, Matthew 22:14. It's short. Jesus said, and these are the words of Christ, that many are called, but few are chosen. Well, now this uses the word call in a little different way. Many are called. Some are effectually called and they respond and they come to Christ. Others do not come. Few are chosen. So there's the Bible also speaking about a general call. And if you've ever thought, well, how can I witness to somebody if I don't know that he's going to come to Christ, if I don't know that he's effectually called? You don't have to wait until you know. You just have to be faithful and tell him. Tell him the gospel. The effectual call is internal and it's irresistible. The effectual aspect means that the call accomplishes its intended purpose. 2 Timothy 1:9, another scripture. It affirms God has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but by his own purpose and grace, and by the grace he has granted us in Christ Jesus before time began. So the language points to an active, purposeful work of God that ensures salvation. Going back to our text once again, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. And I would say in that particular context, called means they've both heard the general call of the gospel that's to go to everyone, and also they've experienced that internal call, that effectual call as well. So what's the role of the Holy Spirit in effectual calling? The Holy Spirit is the divine agent who applies the benefits of salvation to believers. We spoke a little bit about this morning. The Holy Spirit and the work of converting people, the work of regenerating people. So the Holy Spirit is the divine agent who applies the benefits of salvation to believers. There's actually there's a part in our shorter catechism that asks the question, what is effectual calling? And let's just, if you want, turn in the back of the shorter catechism. Well, actually, I guess it's earlier. Yes. I'm going to have you look at one question in the first part of the catechism and then two more in the last part. Shorter Catechism, question 31. You can read that on page 970 of the hymnal. What is effectual calling? It's already been mentioned in the previous answer. By working faith with us and thereby uniting us to Christ in our effectual calling. But then what is effectual calling? Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. So it's he convinces us of our sin and misery, and he persuades us to embrace Jesus Christ. But then go, if you would, a little bit later, and it says in question 89, how is the word made effectual to salvation? I guess I've skipped 88. Let's do 88. What are the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption? The ordinary and the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption are his ordinances, especially the word, sacraments, and prayer, all which are made effectual to the elect for salvation. We talked this morning a little bit about the ordinary means of grace. There they are, the word, sacraments, and prayer, which are made effectual to the elect for salvation. That means that if you attend to the preaching of the word, if you're here for prayer and for the Lord's Supper, the Lord is going to use those to make make the benefits of redemption effectual for us. And then question 89, how is the word made effectual to salvation? The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. So this is indeed a confessional matter. When the Word of God is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit opens hearts, convicts of sin, and draws individuals to confess Christ as Lord. In John 16:8, Jesus teaches that the Holy Spirit will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Through this convicting work, the Spirit removes spiritual blindness and grants the listener a renewed heart. This transformation leads a person to respond in faith, consistently fulfilling God's design that hearing, believing, and professing Christ are the result of his gracious call. Well, so there is an effectual call. But while effectual calling underscores God's initiative, Scripture also teaches that genuine repentance and faith are required responses from the one called. Romans 10, 9 and 10 makes this very clear. This Scripture is certainly worth our meditation and our thinking through how it applies to us. Romans 10, it says in verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Wonderful. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, here, this shows us that the Lord calls people to salvation. Well, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Well, the believer's trust in Christ is the result of divine enabling power. Although it may seem paradoxical to those who hold both God's sovereignty and human responsibility together, which the Reformed do, Scripture repeatedly unites these truths, demonstrating that God's purposes stand while also calling for our active dependence on His grace. Well, consider some examples, notable examples. St. Paul on the road to Damascus, Acts 9, if you're familiar with that story. And by the way, you should be familiar with it because it's repeated three times in the book of Acts. It's so important, that story. But Paul's conversion is an example of effectual calling. Though he had heard about Jesus in a hostile manner, the Lord confronted him directly, transforming him into a chosen instrument. Let me read Acts 9. And verse 15. Well, let me read it in context, starting at 13. Then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here, he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake. So Paul was a chosen instrument. And the Lord came and stopped him dead in his tracks on the way to Damascus as he was on his way there to destroy the church. And the Lord got through to him. The Lord changed his heart. The other example from the book of Acts is Lydia's conversion in Acts 16. And in Acts 16, the text says that the Lord opened up her heart to respond to Paul's message. How did the Lord open up her heart? He worked within her heart to give her an understanding of the gospel. Oh, here's the Lord who will save me. If I put my trust in him, I want him. And so the Lord opened up her heart to respond to Paul's message. Well, here's some some things from an article on effectual calling, historical and theological insights. Through Christian history, councils and confessions have continually upheld the notion of effectual calling. Early manuscripts of Paul's letters revealed that the language of calling was central to his teaching. Over the centuries, theologians concluded that without this special intervention by God, people would remain spiritually dead. Moreover, discoveries of ancient manuscript fragments affirm the continuity of New Testament teaching on salvation. These texts consistently attest that God's Spirit actively summons individuals to Christ. They do not reveal contradictions regarding the call of God, but rather confirm the uniform message of Scripture about the necessity and efficacy of God's gracious hand in turning hearts to Himself. I've talked to people that say, if you believe in God's sovereignty, if you believe in the doctrine of election, then how can you do evangelism? How can you go out and talk to anybody about Christ? Because, now, which is it? Is it that God chooses some to salvation? Or is it that we go out and teach the gospel? But there's no contradiction. The Bible teaches both that God calls men and women to salvation and also that we need to be obedient and go out and tell people about Christ. Rather, effectual calling is a comforting doctrine, reminding us that our salvation rests on God's unwavering commitment to his people. It reassures believers that what God has begun, he's going to continue to do. Philippians 1, verse 6 says that he will continue to do whatever he has promised to do. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the gospel should be proclaimed universally and indiscriminately to all men under heaven. And yet it ultimately is God's sovereign work that brings about the decisive turning from sin to faith. This knowledge should inspire prayers for the Holy Spirit's work. It should stir believers to share the message of Christ with confidence, knowing that Scripture presents God as both the author and finisher of our faith. So effectual calling is the unmistakable work of God in bringing individuals to salvation in Christ. And we thank God for that. So our text says, in the Revelation text, it says that we are called, chosen, and faithful. Let me read that again. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. And I would ask all of us, don't we want to be with him? Don't we want to be on the Lord's side? There's a hymn about that. Who is on the Lord's side? I would trust that all of us would want to say, yes, I'm on the Lord's side. I want to be with him. So those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. We can get into the doctrine of election here. That's the word for chosen. It's eklego in the Greek language, and it means to call or to choose rather. But then finally, they're faithful. And Revelation 2:10, back a few chapters here. Revelation 2:10 promises, ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And so that should be the goal for each one of us. Faithful unto death. Do we want to be on the Lord's side? Do we want to be with him? Do we want to hear his well done? Do we want to stand before him one day and acknowledge the beauty of our Savior that loved us and gave himself for us? Then we ought to be faithful unto death. We may not be able to explain all of the propositions of Scripture and how they relate to one another and how they don't contradict one another, but yet the goal for each one of us is to be faithful. We have a faithful Savior, and God wants us to be faithful as well. How are we faithful? We obey him. We read our Bibles. We pray over them. We say, Lord, I want to be I want to be faithful to you. Let's go to the Lord then in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are in the business of bringing people to yourself. And Lord, we know that sometimes you do it dramatically with lots of conversions happening in a short time. Other times, Lord, it seems as though people hear the gospel and they remain unmoved. They will not come to Christ that they might have life. But Lord, we do thank you that you are in the business of drawing men and women and boys and girls to yourself. We know, Lord, that there are many enemies in this world. We know that the prince of this world doesn't want people to hear the gospel. He wants them to be like the seed that is plucked up before it germinates. But Lord, we know that you are going to accomplish your purpose. Lord, we just pray that you'll put within our hearts a desire to know you better, And Lord, to get down, bow our heads before you and say, Lord, I'm so thankful that you worked in my heart to draw me to yourself. Lord, what would I have done had you left me to remain complacent in my sins? Thank you, Lord, that your people are willing in the day of your power. Work effectually in the lives and hearts of others that we have the opportunity to go and tell about Christ. Help us, Lord, to be faithful messengers, and help us to reflect on our being called, chosen, and faithful. We dedicate ourselves to you now, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.